cast out the guilty pair. Bowed down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned all my sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When hoary time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Thank you, Brother Bruce and Brother Reed, for the music program this morning. What a great beginning in a new year. I love the choice of songs to start this year out. Open your Bible to the book of Psalms, Psalm 14. Psalm 14. Looks good to see all of our bus workers down on the main floor with the rest of our church family. And I'm excited about that. We had a good morning in our Sunday school hour. Classes seemed to be up and excited and energized, and that's a blessing. If you found your place in Psalm 14, would you stand with me and read the first three verses? Follow as I read. The Bible says in verse number 1, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And they are all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." I want you to notice verse number 2 for our message this morning. And the Bible says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." I want you to look at that statement, and the Lord looked down. The Lord looked down. It's an amazing fact that God in heaven looks down and keeps a record of our doings here on earth. He does not keep a record just of nations. He keeps a record of individuals and families. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see. What does God see when He looks down at you? He looked down to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. When God looks down, does He find you seeking after Him? Does He see one that understands His will for your life? Does He see one that's faithful and concerned about honoring God and glorifying God with our life? I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, God looked down. God looked down. He wasn't concerned about global warming. By the way, God has a plan for global warming. This old place is going to be burned up one day. It's going to melt with fervent heat, and it's not from pollution of automobiles and factories. It's going to be God judging the earth and renovating it, bringing it back to its state before sin entered in. God's not looking down today to see how you're prospering. He's not seeing how you're climbing the social ladder. God's interested in how you're obeying Him and living for Him and making Him Lord of your life. The Lord looked down. Father, help me this morning as I bring this message that You might use it to stir hearts, convict us of sin in our life. Help us to be conscious that God is looking down and He sees us when we sin. He also sees us when we do right. God, help us. Help us as Your children to make a commitment in our heart to do right regardless of the circumstances. And then, Heavenly Father, if there be someone here today unsaved, would You save their precious soul? Lord, look down from heaven on us today and convict every heart of sin and according to our need. Convict those that are unsaved of their lost condition. When God looks down, He's not looking to find pretense and hypocrisy. Lord, He's looking to find honest hearts and honest lives. Lord, the one thing we've got to do before any sinner can get saved, that sinner must be honest with himself and admit to himself and before God that he's a sinner. Help us to see sin in our lives, that we might deal with it and be right and clean in the sight of God. Save every unsaved person this morning in this building. And Lord, add to our church. Speak to our hearts. Let us get off to a good start, a right start, by yielding our life to the Lord and serving Him to the best of our ability. We'll thank You in advance for every soul that's saved and every decision that's made. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 are very similar. Both begin with a statement, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Let me say to you on this first Sunday of 2009, God still looks on the atheist and the infidel as fools. And verse 2 points out that the one true God in heaven is looking down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Are you honestly seeking God today? Are you seeking after His will and way for your life? If you're unsaved, are you seeking God for His salvation? If you're a Christian, are you seeking to do your best for the Savior? He's looking down. And the sad thing is that God, in verse number 3, tells us what He found. The verse number 3 says, "They are all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one." And I'm sad to tell you that in a world today that's not seeking God, neither are they doing good. We live in a wicked world today. We're living in a world without God and without morality. We're living in a world today that's dog eat dog, whatever it takes for me to get ahead, lie, cheat, be immoral, impure. God sees all of that. God says as He looks at the world, He's looking for those that understand, that are seeking God, but most of the world is not seeking God today. Let me tell you plainly that the situation has not gotten any better since the time of the psalmist. Paul writes in Romans 3, verse 10 and 11, 2,000 years ago, "As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God." And as I stand here on this first Sunday of 2009, I can sure assure you that it hasn't gotten any better today. What does God see when He looks down on your life and your house? For just a few minutes, I want us to consider that statement, "When God looks down," and use that as a launching platform into the message. The first point is, God looked down. I ask you again, what does God see when He looks on your house and your life? Now, it's not going to profit us at all to imagine what God sees when He looks on Hollywood, or what God sees when He looks on the atheist and infidel's house. I'm asking you this morning, when God looks down, what does He see in your life? What does He see in your house? Does He see someone who does not care what God says or what God thinks? Or does He see someone who's trying to please God with all their heart? Does He see someone who has accepted Christ as Savior, knowing that Christ is God's only provision for our sin? What does He see in your heart? What does He see in your life? What does He see in your family? He even sees the skeletons in our closet. I'm afraid, but certain, that what God saw when He spoke through the psalmist and again through Paul is not different from what He sees today when He looks down on mankind. I want you to know He sees the immorality going on among mankind today. He sees the perversion between men and men and women and women. He sees the dishonesty in business practices. He sees the men and women ignoring and rebelling against God's plan for marriage. He sees the perversion in religion and in church worship. He sees how it's been turned into entertainment for people instead of worship for God. He sees the unfaithfulness among Christians. They say they love God, and yet never or seldom attend His church. They say they love God, and yet never do the one thing to prove their love. The Bible says that we prove our love by giving and tithing. Yet many never give or tithe. He looks down and hears Christians profess how much they love God, and yet they refuse to serve in His ministry in the local church. They say they love God, and Yet God looks down and sees that they don't do anything that indicates a love for Jesus. Again, what does God see when He looks down upon your life? Knowing that God sees everything and nothing is hidden to Him, how can any person ever be ready to face God? You see, honest and sincere hearts and sincere people are honest about their sin condition. They're honest about their need of God. You never get right with God pretending. You never get right with God hiding sin. If we're ever going to get right with God, we've got to get honest about sin. And God's looking down today for someone that'll be honest and say, "I'm a sinner. I need to be saved." He's looking down for someone that'll say, "I'm a sinner, and I'm a Christian, and I need to get right." No one ever gets saved, or no one ever gets right until they're honest and sincere about sin in their heart and in their life. I want to say in the second place that God not only looks down, but God came down. God came down. Matthew 1, chapter 23 said, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. In our first point, God is in heaven looking down. He sees the wickedness of man. He sees the sinfulness of man. He sees that none is doing good. None understands. None are seeking after God. God said, "I'm going to come down." And thank God I'm here to tell you that we've just come through the Christmas season, and that entire time is to celebrate the fact that God did come down. He came down and dwelled among us. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." God looked down and God came down seeking to saving those that are lost. But one of the saddest verses in the Bible, when God looked down and came down, the Bible says He came to His own, but His own received Him not. What a terrible thing to have God come down. And you say, "You're not welcome in my house. You're not welcome in my country." What a terrible thing for God to look down and then come down to save us, and He knocks on our heart's door and we say, "No, Lord, You can't come in. It's my life." Who told you it was your life? God made you. God gave you life. He gave you breath to breathe. God looked down and God came down wanting a relationship with you, wanting to save you and forgive you of your sin and give you a life worth living and heaven to look forward to. And He knocks on your heart's door this morning. Oh, what kind of a fool will say, "You can't come in"? God looked down. God came down. When God looked down, He found not one righteous soul. There was none that doeth good. No one could save themselves. When God looked down, He saw a hopeless, sinful people who were destined to hell and judgment as they were. There was no Savior, no hope, no way out of the condemnation of our sin. When God looked down, He saw the fact that if man was going to ever be saved, then He'd have to come and provide salvation for them. So, dear friend, God not only looked down, God came down. He came down to seek and to save sinners. He came down to provide hope for a hopeless people. He came down to provide a way for sinners where there was no way out. He came down to seek us out because we could not find Him by our own efforts. He came down to forgive us when there was nothing but sin and condemnation awaiting us. He came down to prove His love toward us while we were yet sinners. He came down so we could be found when we were so desperately lost. Hallelujah this morning. God looked down. And I'm glad to tell you, God came down. And thirdly, God not only looked down and came down, He laid down His life for us. He laid down His life for us. 1 John 3:16 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Through the crucifixion of Christ, there is hope for those of us that are lost. We're lost and without God. And there's hope for you this morning if you're lost. Though the crucifixion of Christ was a terrible event, it was not a random act of terrorism. It was the willful act of God providing a ransom for our sins. God looked down and saw our sins. He saw our need. He saw our hopelessness. And God said, "All right, I'm going to come down." But just coming down is not going to fix the problem. Somebody's got to lay down their life to pay for their sin. And that person's got to be sinless. That person has got to be without sin in order to become a sin sacrifice for them. And since there's no one born of man and woman that can do that, I'm coming down by way of a miracle birth. I'm coming down and I'm going to be tempted in all points as man is tempted. Yet I will not sin. And I'm going to come down and lay down my life for them. I'm going to be that ransom. I'm going to pay that price. I'm going to give them an opportunity to be saved. The purpose of Christ coming down was that He might lay down His life, a sacrifice for our sins. The most precious verses in the Bible have to do with Christ laying down His life for us. The most popular verse in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And that's what Jesus did. He looked down. He saw our need. He saw our sinfulness. He came down and He laid down His life a ransom for our sins. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." It is imperative that you make this truth personal. God looked down. God came down. And Jesus laid down His life on the cross for you. Have you accepted Him? Have you trusted Him? Let me say quickly in the fourth place, the Lord looked down. He came down. He laid down, then hallelujah, He sat down at the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the expressed image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." Hebrews 10:12 says, "But this man, Jesus, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Now, what is the significance of Christ sitting down at the right hand of Christ after He looked down, came down, and laid down His life for us? Well, here's what it means. It means that all the work of providing redemption had been completed in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It means nothing else had to be done, nor could be done, nor was required to be done. It had been finished, completed, and made available to whosoever will accept Christ as Savior. In the Old Testament, in the picture of redemption, the priest would go through the cleansing process and then the offering of the sacrifices for sin on the brazen altar. And then he'd take that blood and he'd go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. Now there was no place to sit down in the holy place or the Holy of Holies where the priest ministered for us. The people could not go in, only the priest. The people could not see the priest at work for us. But the priestly garment was designed by God in such a way that little bells were sewn around the hem of the garment. And while that priest was offering the sacrificing and burning all incense on the altar of prayer and going behind the veil once a year and putting the blood on the mercy seat, they could listen and they could hear the bells as they jingled on the bottom of the priest's garment. That priest was busy. He was about his work. And the Bible says he offered sacrifice after sacrifice that could never take away sin. He was never seated. He was always busy. But oh, when Jesus offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down. He sat down at the right hand of God. He sat down because the work was finished. No more sacrifices needed. No more dying on the cross. Nothing else is required. Man does not have to work his way to heaven. He does not have to earn his way to heaven. He cannot buy his way to heaven. The way has been finished and the door has been opened. The key has been thrown away. Anyone who wants to be saved can come through Jesus Christ and have life everlasting and forgiveness of sin. You can be saved. Jesus looked down. Jesus came down. Jesus laid down. And thank God, He sat down. It's finished. He sat down and arms are outstretched saying, "You can come now. You without hope, you can come. Sinner, you can come. All wicked, you can come. Man, woman, boy, or girl without God, you can come. It's paid for. It's finished. Come and receive it freely." What does this mean to us today in 2009? It means that our salvation is already purchased and completely paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross. It means that salvation is available to any person here today. Any person in your family. Any person on your street. It's available to any person in your city. And it's available to any person anywhere in the world. It's paid for. When Jesus died on the cross, He so completely paid for sin that it opened the way of salvation to whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When Jesus died on that old rugged cross and sat down at the right hand of God, He can make this promise: all who will come unto Me, I'll not cast one out. It means that salvation is available to any person without cost. It's a gift from God to any person who will believe that Jesus died for their sins and will accept Him as their Savior. Have you? You do understand He looked down and saw you. He came down and had you in mind. When He laid down His life on the cross, it was for you. And He sits down at the right hand of the Father and extends an invitation for you personally to come and trust Him as Savior. Have you? If you haven't, don't you think it's about time? What are you waiting for? The same Jesus that looked down and came down and laid down His life for us is now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, waiting for you to trust Him, waiting to give you life everlasting. And I would be dishonest if I did not say in closing that one day this one that looked down and came down and laid down and sat down is going to get up and come down again for the saved. Are you ready? Are you ready? Someone here today needs to be saved. This is the day that God has prepared for you. That's the reason He came down and laid down. He came for you. Have you trusted Him? Someone here today needs to get their life right with God. Have you? It'll never be a better time than right now. Why waste a Sunday? Why waste a week? Why waste a service? Someone in here tonight needs to get, or today needs to get in church and begin to live for the Savior. Oh my, if you know that need and you love God, why would you wait another week? Why wouldn't you settle it today? Father in heaven, thank You for looking down, for coming down, for laying down, and then sitting down at the right hand of the Father for us. Now, Lord, You know our needs. You know those that are lost and on their way to hell, and You know those that need to be saved. God, I'm asking You this morning to save that man or woman, that boy or girl that's nearest hell. I'm asking You to help that Christian get their life right with God. Why would a Christian hold back and not yield their life to the Savior? I'm asking You to help young men and women and Christians everywhere surrender their life to serve You. Some need a church home. Some need to come for believers' baptism. God, speak to our hearts this morning, and we'll thank You for what You shall do. Heads are bowed and